Welcome to the Grow My Cleaning Company podcast with your host, Mike Campion. If you are passionate about the cleaning industry, you are in the right place. Love what you hear? Spread the word and tell the cleaning world this is the place to be. Want more? Check out www.growmycleaningcompany.com for free online video trainings, free ebook downloads, free blog posts, and of course, all the podcast episodes. Everything you need to grow your cleaning company is at www.growmycleaningcompany.com. And now, on with the show.
Welcome to the Grow My Cleaning Company podcast, the place for everything you need to know to grow your cleaning company. If you're committed to growing your company, go to www.growmycleaningcompany.com and you get all my best stuff absolutely free for owners who want more out of their cleaning business and more out of their life. Today, we are chatting with Michael Frenda from Thunderbird Maintenance Corp. Thunderbird serves the Long Island area with commercial janitorial services. If you want to reach out to Michael and his team, you can get a hold of them at www.thunderbirdcorp.com. Michael, say hello to Cleaning Nation.
Hello, Cleaning Nation. Glad to be with you, Michael.
Glad to have you, sir. So I kind of stole some of your thunder before when you were telling me a little bit about how you got in your business and the growth that you've been having. So how about I take a nap and have a sandwich, and why don't you share with Cleaning Nation how you got in and what you've been up to the last couple years?
Okay, great. Well, I kind of got into the business by accident. A friend was in the business, and he was talking to me. My background is really in sales and marketing, and he was talking to me about some of the areas that he was, had some struggle in. He was working, still out there cleaning every night after, 20-plus years in the business. And, I tried to give him some of my perspective on how, it would be better if he could spend more time trying to develop the business. And so I started to study the business, and I became very interested in it. I saw that there was a great community of successful cleaning company owners out there who are, from $1 million a year to, $50 million a year, who are willing to share. And so I thought it was a good community. And I kind of had this other idea that I could, help blue collar people develop into partners in our program, So it's kind of had multiple, goals there, but I wanted to build a business and build a large business, but with the help of other people working in the business with me and developing and building it into a bigger business. So we started doing that on a part-time basis and for a couple of years. And then finally, my partner and I quit our day jobs and started to do this full-time last year. And in that time frame, we were able to basically triple the size of the business. So although, again, we weren't doing that much to begin with, but we naturally put a focus there and we're seeing some results, and we're looking to have a great growth again this year. As I mentioned, some of the struggles that I have among many is hiring. As we've grown last year with this growth that we've had, we went from doing all the cleaning ourselves to hiring people. And now have, about 8 slots for employees. And, find that very challenging to find the right people that fit our culture and, what we want to provide to our clients. We're definitely not out there to provide the lowest price. We want to be able to give them the greatest value. So, I feel that, we want to hire people and pay them a fair amount of money. We don't pay minimum wage. And I expect, that we're able to get a good rate for our services then.
Okay, so it's you and one partner, correct?
Correct.
Okay, and are you guys both now full time? So before you started out kind of part-time working other jobs, are you guys both now full-time in the business?
Well, essentially, I do still, moonlight in the sales area with my, I was with Dale Carnegie Training. So I still have some clients that I work with there, but, for the most part, I'm 80% now with Thunderbird.
Okay, cool. And that's one of the first things I coach anyone I work with personally. I don't work with anyone that's not full-time, because I found that the growth really, you kind of uncap it or uncork the growth to the next level when you can be full-time and give all of your focus to one thing. So that's awesome. All right, cool. So what can I help you with today, man? My friend, how can we help grow your business?
Well, I'm struggling with, identifying the right type of people, the hiring process. I realize that in this business, we're not necessarily, we're not talking about, white collar workers, right? So people come to this business with a different attitude. Often it's, part-time. And what I say to potential employees is that, I can't go to my client and say, well, they didn't show up tonight because this is only their second job. you know, I say we struggle with the challenge of filling part-time positions with people who bring full-time attitudes. And I know that's not easy, but I wish I could know better up front. I feel that I could do a better job up front of identifying people that really fit that profile, who are going to come in. And we do have, you know, a couple of new employees, for instance, that they're thanking me for the opportunity and they're working hard, you know, and they come from South America, but I can't put in the ad, you know, only South Americans or Central Americans apply. I can't do that. And of course, not everybody from there is going to be the same, just like people from North America are not going to all be the same either. But I wish I could be a better identifier up front that these people will really fit in our company. And I want people to come in and grow and be successful. I don't want people to just, you know, fill a slot and, you know, not, you know, make X amount of dollars and stay in a box. I want to be able to develop the company, you know, and I realize I need other people to do that.
Okay, cool. So let's dive in, because you said a lot of stuff, and I think there's a lot of things I can help you with. First of all, as you were talking, I kind of came up with this. I agree. Obviously, you can't say, you know, I only want to work with African Americans or South Americans or Hispanic, or, you know, whatever the case may be. You can't say that. But what you can do, and I definitely recommend, I hate to use the word profiling, but in the most positive way, is just using common sense. And if you notice that high school white or college white students that are doing a part-time job and working for beer money are generally not a fit, you're going to take that into account. If you notice that married moms of two or more kids that are working this for a second job and like working at nights are a really good fit, then you're going to want to take that into account. So certainly you don't advertise no white college kids or only, you know, but you can identify right. Where college kids hang out or where South Americans hang out and advertise in that medium. So I always encourage people, you know, if we'll just use moms. Say that you find that, you know, 40 to 50 year old moms with two kids that are in school or more with a working husband is your best candidate. Well, shoot, you might want to do Pinterest. You might want to do, hey, just ask them, where do they hang out? What magazines do you read? What communities are you a part of? And then go there to advertise. And the good thing is, you'll probably be the only janitorial company in that space. I would definitely encourage you, find if these two South American people are working out really well and you think that has something to do with their background and their history, for crying out loud, find out where they hang out, what radio stations they listen to, what magazines they read, what movie theaters they go to, and advertise with a message that's going to be compelling to them where they hang out. Does that make sense?
That makes a lot of sense.
Okay.
Yeah, a lot of sense.
Yeah, so you have more control than you think. Second thing is, and we talk about this a lot because it affects just about every piece of the business, but it's very key for exactly what you're saying, and that's culture. And culture and core values, we can't get into, you know, super deep, but the concept is, if you're very clear with what your core values are, and I think I'm picking up on a couple right now, you know, quality work, it sounds like you really want to make sure that the customer's first and that you keep your word, integrity, that, you know, that kind of area. Let's just call it integrity. Uh-huh. If you say you're going to be there to clean, you dang well better be there to clean, right? If you say you're going to work hard, you should work hard. So let's just call it integrity for now. If that's a core value, your ads should be dripping with those kinds of words, right? Like, would you rather, you know, cut off your left arm than tell somebody a lie? This might be the place for you, right? You know, that kind of stuff where you're clear with your core values, and there should be three or four, five at the most, that you just kind of concepts that you really believe in, and your ad should really be written in such a way that people aren't attracted to that, aren't interested. Like for me, our core values for my company has always been have fun, make money, help out, and be real. So all of our ads were written really cheeky and really funny and really silly. I wouldn't say silly, but just kind of goofy and funny. We never took ourselves too seriously. So immediately when people read those ads, whether it was a customer or a prospect or an employee or a vendor or a banker, they knew right off the bat who they were dealing with. And it had two pretty polarizing effects. One, a customer would go, oh my gosh, I don't need this. This guy's, you know, how can he use that kind of language or talk like that in an advertisement? I would never want to do business. Well, guess what? I don't want that guy in my life or in my world anyway. So that ad did a great job of steering clear all those people that took themselves too seriously for my business, because we're not going to get along. They're not going to like me. I promise I'm not going to like them. Flip side, the people that got it were like, oh, this is home. I can't believe I found a place that actually gets it like I get it. And we had, it was very, very hard to hire people away from us because they, this was their community. This was their people. I tell a story. I literally had a guy, I don't know what it's like in your community, but here in Phoenix on the off ramps and on ramps to freeways, there's oftentimes homeless people sitting there with a sign like, you know, give me food. So I had a shade company. We produce big, large commercial government shade structures. And I had a guy literally go out, take off his shirt, sit on a 5-gallon paint bucket at the side of the road with his hair all messed up, and he held a sign saying, "We'll work for shade." And that was his cover letter to his resume. And I'm telling you, that dude absolutely got an interview because he knew who we were. He got our core values, and he really qualified himself just by that. So when you are when you are A, clear with your core values, and then B, living them internally in the company, externally in the company, with every sort of advertisement you do, you're really going to detract the people that are no good. Like, say you have people that don't want to do the work you put in your ad. If you're lazy, go away. You will hate it here. Love hard work? You might be good. Give us a call. Well, guess what? The lazy people are going to self-deselect. You know, they're not going to be like, well, I'll trick them into thinking I'm not lazy. They're going to go, I don't want any part of this thing. He wants me to do a bunch of hard work. I'm not interested. Does that make sense, or am I going too fast?
No, it's definitely makes sense. It's a different way to look at it, for sure. That's an interesting perspective.
Okay, I'll give you a couple more, and then we got to move on. The next thing is, it's not about the money. I get a lot of, especially, I don't say newer, but people that have been in the business less than 5 years, how much, you know, they always want to talk to me when I'm coaching them or doing consulting. What about pay? I pay this much. Is that too much? Is that not enough? What, you know, and honestly, the pay really isn't an issue. Obviously you have to pay minimum wage by law, and obviously you're not going to be paying, you know, $18 an hour generally, unless you're in a really weird part of the country and there's a real specific reason. So say the pay is going to be between $12 and $13, depending on your, you know, it's always going to be a pretty short range of $2 or $3 of pay. If you do your job right, you're not going to attract the people that say, well, I'm making $11.50 here. I got offered $11.83 down the road. I'm out of here. That's, you don't want that guy or gal anyway, right? So the pay kind of needs to be, sure, you pay them fair wages, right? You can't try and screw somebody or undercut. That doesn't work. But as long as you're paying in that fair range, the core values is really it. You want them to be a part of this community and say, yeah, maybe I can make a $0.50 or $1 more somewhere else, or maybe not. I don't care, because I can't find this community. Every other job I've had has been retail. I'm folding stuff, or restaurants. I'm putting up with drunk people. It's just a mess. This is the first job I've had. And again, because these guys usually aren't coming off of six-figure incomes to be cleaners. This is their life. They've just had one, in their opinion, crappy $10 an hour job with one crappy $10 an hour boss after another. And when you crack that open and go, no, this is a community. This is, you're getting more than that $10 an hour. You're getting friends. You're getting a place that you want to be a part of. You're getting to share space and time and get paid to share space and time with people that believe the same things that you believe it, that in. They're all about hard work just like you are. They're all about having fun just like you are. Whatever your core values are, if you attract them, it makes it so much easier. And then the money really doesn't, you know, you just have to check that box where it's like, yeah, that's, I'm getting paid fairly, right? Because if you share the core values, but they don't feel like they're being treated fairly, it's not going to work. So as long as you're in that range, it's fair. And again, I found a $10 an hour employee works just as hard or not hard as a $15 an hour employee. A lot of times we think, well, I'm at $11. If I pay $12, I'll get a better caliber of person. You won't. It's the same caliber. You have to pay $20 to get really a big difference in that. So that's the second thing. I'll give you a couple other quick hits and then we'll get going. Top Grading, the book, is an excellent book. It's called Top Grading by Jeff and something else Smart. I think it's a father and son team, but the authors are named Smart. That's their actual last name, and it's called Top Grading. He talks about the way he does interviews is, because I can't remember if it's before we hit record or not, you had mentioned when people interview, you can't tell, like, they only give you the good references. The way you overcome that is, right, you've got to insist that you get 100% full job history, like date started, not month or year. Date, you started July 2009, what day? And you got to go with zero employment gaps. So, and encourage them not to put a gap. So you go, wow, that's really, I'll be quite honest with you, Mike. We don't like hiring people with massive employment gaps. What's going on? Did you, because we found, just shoot square with them. We found that either you just took a couple years off, in which case, you know, that's, you're probably not a fit here if you don't want to work all the time, or you had a bad experience that you're trying to hide from me. That doesn't work either. So that said, can we get a real history on your jobs? And you just insist that even if they're going to lie to you, that at least they tell you, here's where I was for every single minute of every single whatever the case may be. So don't just go with the, well, I was here with this guy that I liked between this time and this time, and there's a big gap that I'm not going to talk about after that. And then, so does that make sense how you can get a full work history with no gaps?
Yeah, definitely. And I've, you know, we get a lot of gaps, you know, and I sometimes just feel, you know, reluctant to look into that because we want to hire somebody. So we're kind of desperate and we're overlooking those things because, well, they seem like they're good and, you know, all that other stuff. But yeah, the gaps definitely make me question, gee, what's going on here? You know, where were you? You know, what happened here? Obviously there's a problem there.
Well, and for us, one of my core values was
to say that kind of validates it for me.
Yeah. One of my core values is to be real. So I would just call them on that. What's going on? Are you lying to me because this is a crappy job and you're afraid I'm going to find out? Or were you just lazy and didn't want to work for 2 years? Either way, we got a problem. Let's talk about that now.
Right.
So I wouldn't kind of just ignore it or pretend it's not there, because then you're teaching them, oh, good, that works. That pays off at this place where I can kind of just be a little shady and try and hide stuff, and they're cool with that. Not that you said that, but the actions will say that whether you like that or not. So, yeah, that would definitely be something I would encourage you to. If something, that's one thing it took me years and years and years to figure out. Is when I was younger in business, I would do exactly that for the exact same reason. I'm desperate. There's a warm body. Tell me all the things I want to hear looking across from me. And if I don't hire this guy, I'm going to be cleaning tonight, or I'm going to have to ask someone else to clean that's been overworked and they're pissed and I don't have a lot of options and I'm going to make a bad decision. I found that's just a game you can't win, and you keep pouring good money and time after bad. And at some point you'll learn the hard way, or, you know, hopefully through this conversation, you can start getting it, just to pull the Band-Aid and go, I will tolerate working tonight and figuring it out, or pissing off whatever, or doing what I'll take the consequences of. I can't have bad hires. And I'm going to, if there's a real conversation that needs to be had, I'm going to have it. So last couple things, three different places, three different people. I'm a big fan of blood in and blood out when it comes to hiring. A lot of people have the guy shows up or the gal shows up. They look nice. They don't have a bunch of tattoos. They're not going to scare your customer. They say, yeah, I'll work real hard, boss. And that's it. They're hired. The problem is it didn't cost them anything to get that job, so they don't value it. The longer and more arduous you make that interview process and the harder to get in, A, you're going to say, well, yeah, but some people won't put up with that and they'll leave. You're exactly right. Well, great. Let's figure that out before you get hired, as opposed to after you do their W-2 paperwork and hire them and put them on the books. And 3.5 days later, they no call, no show on you. So again, it's not easy, but this, I'm just telling you, this is what works in terms of building a company. So three interviews, three different places make it very difficult to get in. It takes, you know, a week to do it. After the first interview, they have to go through a hoop to get to the second interview. And if they don't go through that hoop, you don't call them anymore. That's it. And, you're going to have to do more interviews and get less people to sign up, but your turnover will go down drastically. So my system that I teach my people is three different interviews with three different places and three different people. Can't get into that now, but that's the concept. And then, we're running late, so I'm just going to finish up. The last thing is, you got to make sure that once you do hire a good person, we can easily, if our culture's not right and our core values aren't right, we can easily turn a good hire into a bad hire by just, you know, here's your mop bucket, here's your thing, get out there and clean, go get them, Tiger, and then never hear from you again. There's got to be that ongoing support and community and daily examples of the core values, and that conversation needs to keep going. All right, I've gone way, way over. Any questions or comments before we hit the lightning round, Michael?
No, great stuff. Thank you, Michael. It's refreshing perspective.
Cool. And the good thing is, surprisingly enough, this is all recorded. So if I went real fast, which I know I did, or your partner's not here, it'll be obviously on iTunes and Stitcher and on our website, so you can check it out anytime you like. That said, let's hit the lightning round. Three quick questions. You're going to give three amazing answers. Question one, what's the best piece of advice you've ever received, sir?
There's a lot of things, but I would have to say probably the late, great Jim Rohn said, you know, don't wish it were easier, wish you were better. You know, don't wish for less problems, wish for more skills.
Love it. I'm going to say that again. I like this so much. Don't wish it was easier, wish you were better. Well said, the late, great Jim Rohn. All right. Biggest mistake you've ever made in the cleaning business that maybe we can learn from?
It's a lot of places to start there. But the number one thing I think is not putting enough effort and focus on sales.
Yeah, well, and marketing, if I can add. All right, good.
Right.
Third question. What's one idea, one single idea the owners of cleaning companies, Cleaning Nation, can put into practice today? Something, not a long-term thing that's going to take a month to unfold. Something they can do before their head hits the pillow tonight that'll improve their lives or their business in any way.
I don't know if this fits that, but I would say, you know, to at least make a decision that you're going to work on the business more than in the business. I know, again, you know, like Jim Rohn said, you know, don't listen to me very carefully. Don't watch me too closely because I'm still working on this too. But at least make that decision, you know, at least make that decision to be more professional, like a real business owner, not somebody that, because, you know, the barrier of entry to the business is pretty low. You can get a vacuum and a mop and put it in the back of your car, and, you can be pretty much in business and not really be professional. Be somebody who's going to have a real business.
Yeah.
And that's who I want to compete against.
And I would agree. I think absolutely making a decision is something that you can do. Obviously, that'll play out throughout the months and years, but making that decision today, right now, that is something that just takes an instant. And Cleaning Nation, you can do that tonight before you put your, or today before your head hits the pillow. All right, Michael, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for sharing your passion, your experience, your desire to grow. I appreciate you. Cleaning Nation appreciates you. If you want to check out Michael's show notes page and discover everything you need to grow your cleaning company, go to www.growmycleaningcompany.com. Leave your questions, your comments, your rude remarks. I will see you there.
Congratulations! You are now 16% smarter. Still can't get enough cleaning goodness? Go to www.growmycleaningcompany.com for more of the good stuff. Ever want to be rich and famous? Owners of cleaning companies, as well as industry experts, can apply to be featured on the show by emailing our producer Natalie at support@growmycleaningcompany.com. Until then, don't miss out on all the latest cleaning industry lovin' at www.growmycleaningcompany.com. Check it out now.